talking about?
But John was adamant.
But I look at him, and he ain't leaving.
Right.
So I said, okay, what the hell? Figure let it be a formative lesson for the kid. I don't know what it is. So I put him in the ring with one of the smaller guys. John pummeled this boy. It was over in about 15 seconds, okay? So, I put him in with his bruiser. Now, a real good fighter.
Yeah.
Okay? Good fighter. Two punches. John laid him out. 12 years old.
I liked talking to Dion. He was warm and funny in that grandfatherly memory lane kind of way. I realized I'd gotten lost in it all when the narrative took a dark turn.
But then, one week, John just didn't show up.
It was 2524. John was 13. That's when the nightmare of the insurrection that had been plaguing the outer colonies finally landed on John's community. Under pressure from UNSC troops, the rebels were on their last leg, desperately seizing territory in the region and launching paranoid inquisitions to find spies. Civilian abductions and interrogations became commonplace.
They would just, question you. Just these meaningless questions for hours and hours.
Thomas Wu was living on a neighboring colony when the rebels showed up and hit hard, sweeping up Thomas and thousands of others in raids. What followed was months of horribly overcrowded detainment, neglect, and often constant questioning.
You know, did you know this guy? What are the encryption codes for this system, that system? You know, and you have no idea what they're even asking you.
In the final couple months, Thomas says his captors started coming unhinged. And then toward the end, they just disappeared, leaving Thomas and hundreds of others locked up, starving. I don't want to play this part of the interview, but I'll tell you, it got bad. He talks about being packed in like sardines, warm bodies, cold bodies, people dying in the dark, the smell. He doesn't know how long it lasted, maybe weeks. But Thomas and many others survived. They made it out.
Well, you know, we helped each other. You know, we looked out for each other. You know, and I mean, that was the only way. We made it through to the liberation, and then we left. You know, we never looked back.
When I asked him where the survivors relocated to, Thomas began to list off which cities were safe for refugees at the time. Decades later, he can still recite them all from memory. I asked about John's hometown.
Perth City.
What about Elysium City?
No. Insurrectionist cesspool. Yeah, no, they got it bad there.
Dion Govender confirms this.
In Elysium City, people just disappeared back then. Just happened. Once the insurrectionists took over, whole neighborhoods just got scooped up.
This went on for months. He talks about watching his community get torn apart slowly. Every day. I asked him about John.
Yeah. Him and his parents. John missed the first practice and the last one. Back then, it seemed like everybody had... I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Take your time. It was hard watching Dion break down like this. He just looked defeated. These kinds of interviews are brutal. I wanted to comfort him, but it just felt condescending. Like I have any idea what it was like for him. So we were quiet for a bit. Before we ended, though, he said this.
I think that if anything good can be said to have come from all of this, it's that everyone who went through it can know that their struggle wasn't for nothing. When you have a young man who can rise up from something like this, and do what John has done. He honors all of us.
Dion believed in John the way the rest of us believe in the Master Chief. He made it seem like this tragedy that shaped him was almost necessary. I certainly felt like I had the proper beginnings to a hero's origin story. The story made sense, it felt right. Sometimes you have to go back, though. Look again. Because maybe you'll see something small, out of place, that single thread. Later that evening, after my interview with Dion, I was pretty drained, so I spent some time sifting through a bunch of file boxes. I'd paid this scavenger in the outer colonies to dig around and send over any Elysium City documents she could find. The only local government records left were hard copies, but I took them anyway. I was sorting through a messy box of local census registries when I stumbled across John's name. One line of basic information, printed out in black and white. That's when I saw it. A single letter next to his name. D. I was staring at an official document that said quite plainly that in 2517, John died at 6 years old. Please join me for the next episode of Hunt the Truth.